We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Has used those guys often against the other team's best. Orlov carries in. Wilson driving the net, deflects it by Dubnyk, and the Capitals have a 2-0 lead.
Tom Wilson, first game back after the suspension, does a great job of driving the net. Great play in the neutral zone to create a little bit of separation. Tom Wilson beats Ryan Suter back to the back post.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to a new episode of Unleashing Fury, coming to you from the Fox Sports 910 studio in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome, first episode in about a month or so, and we're trying something new, switching it up a little bit here as this show sort of develops, and we're going to add sort of this video aspect to it. But I'm also joined in studio by a guest, a friend of mine, Chip Briere, formerly of WRIC here in Richmond. He's currently doing his own thing, I guess you could say right now. But
Just kind of minding my own time, watching sports, enjoying weekends, being with my fiance, being a fan again, not having to get caught up in Mike Houston leaving JMU, Richmond basketball, trying to figure out what they're going to do with Nick Sherrod out, VCU playing Texas tonight. I just get to watch it all. It's a nice change of pace, but it's nice to be back behind a microphone. Thank you for bringing me back into the fold, Jordan.
Yeah, man, sure thing. I'm so happy you could be here. I don't know. I guess I kind of procrastinated on this a little bit.
Yeah,
I hit you up a few weeks ago saying, hey, do you want to do this? And you said, yeah.
Of course.
And of course, you know, we're finally getting to do this. But if you can, just sort of fill everyone in on sort of your background of, you know, television. I know you got the chance to actually cover the Caps run to the Stanley Cup last season, which I'm super jealous of, to get to cover it in a working capacity.
I still hold that over everyone that couldn't make it out to the Stanley Cup final, especially from the Richmond media. I mean, I was the only one other than the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and they said, I was like, oh, good to see you here, Michael. Michael Phillips, sports editor for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. So my background, I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, born and raised. Went to the University of Miami for college for 4 years. Right out of college, got an opportunity to be the weekend sports anchor reporter for the ABC affiliate here in Richmond, WRIC-TV, 8 News. Spent 4 years here. Then I just went on and figured I was going to try and find something new. Still in progress of trying to find something new. But hey, like I said, just getting a nice change of pace and seeing what else is out there. As it can't all just be TV. You know, it's all good looks and suits and keeping your hair proper, putting makeup on and all that. It gets tiresome. Sometimes you just want to go knock back a beer, wear a Hockey's jersey or a Capitals jersey, go over to Home Sweet Home and watch the opening night where they put the banner up and you cry a little inside as Ovechkin sings, "We are the champions" on the ice. That got a little detailed, but that's exactly what it felt like and got a little vortexy there. But yeah, I got to cover all the local sports here in Richmond, ones that you cover producing here, Fox Sports 910, along with Wes McElroy and the crew. So VCU, Richmond, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go through all of it. But getting to that Stanley Cup final, boy, I got to go to game 4 when they won 6-2.
I was there. I wasn't working. I was actually, where was I? I was rinkside. So I had a partial season plan last year. And so One of their things to get people to buy is you get priority over playoff tickets. And so I had the opportunity to buy pre-sale Stanley Cup final tickets. And so we had like a window, and I waited till like 5 minutes before that window closed, and all that was left were those VIP seats. So I paid a hefty chunk of change for it, but I was three rows from the glass.
Oh, man.
So it was so cool. Max Scherzer and Ryan Zimmerman and the Nats were there.
Were you there? Were you with them?
I got with them. In the MGM little VIP area that came down there.
So you're
and they
saying
were,
you got to look at both of Max Scherzer's eyes.
I did.
And determine which one you like best?
Yeah.
I still am having that argument to this day. But that was so cool. You were right there?
I was right there.
So you
it was cool.
Me. You taught me in one category.
And then I got to go to the home opener too and see the banner raising.
Excellent.
I can show you the photo of the banner from my seat on my phone.
Surprised that's not your phone background.
It's my Facebook cover image, which I guess is a
comparable.
Yeah, consolation prize there. But so you got to did you get to go in the locker room,
talk to
players and everything?
The whole business. I mean, you talk about environment, you talk about buildup, you talk about all the stars of National Hockey League media mafia, as I like to call the masses, the crews, the posses, if you will. Got to meet Barry Melrose.
That's awesome.
And take a picture with the hockey god, Barry Melrose, who is such a champ about it, by the way. You would think someone rough and gruff like that would say, oh, no, no pictures here, you know, just be you. He said, yeah, no problem, boss, and just took the picture.
That's awesome.
Nice and easy. And the fans were fantastic. They weren't really nice to Vegas Golden Knights fans for good reason, because there's, as we'll probably talk about here shortly, a little bit of bad blood going between the two teams. But nonetheless, you want to talk about a playoff atmosphere, and I've had a chance to cover an NBA Finals during my four-year run at the University of Miami through internships with local TV stations. You're talking LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, when LeBron won his first title against
the
Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
And then the following finals, when Ray Allen hits the shot in Game 5 to set up Game 6, I was probably, I can't do the footage, like the measurements, but what I could say is if you're standing in the hallway looking to the court at the Siegel Center, that's essentially the same distance as I was to that shot for Ray Allen.
Yeah.
I had the chance to high-five Pat Riley as he came out of the locker room
for that first finals
and gave him a high-five as an intern. Now, as a professional, you're not supposed to be a fan, but as an intern, I figured I could get away with it, and I still have to this day, and I'm proud to tell that story, and if anybody wants to call me into criticism, bring it on. I can take it. But that was comparable, the Stanley Cup Final. It was the best atmosphere of any game I'd ever been to in my life. And my rankings for sports coverage and fandom goes basketball, football, baseball, and hockey. I love hockey. I really do. But hockey is really hard for me to kind of follow. The numbers game can get a little dicey, but same could be said for baseball.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, if you want to go have a great time, it's hockey. And I had the best time of my life in Game 4 Stanley Cup Final. In Washington, 6-2 over the Golden Knights, going into the locker room, the line all the way down the hall and around the corner to go into the Capitals locker room, Jordan. Down the hall and around the corner.
Yeah.
For a tiny room. There was more than 150 people trying to get into the Capitals locker room. It was just every man for himself. It was Battle Royale.
Bananas.
Yes. Bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. But I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, no,
it was wonderful.
It's so cool that you got to do that. And now moving on to now, the big news yesterday, as of this recording, the NHL has awarded Seattle with the 32nd franchise in league history. So
about
way to
time.
Go, way to go, Pacific Northwest.
About time Seattle gets its franchise back.
Yep. The 19
been waiting forever.
The 1917 Stanley Cup winning Seattle team. It was it the Metropolitans that won the?
Might have been.
I think
you're,
that's
you're
what
asking
they were
me a lot on that question. I don't know. I don't know if my memory.
But
extends that far.
It's good. It's good for them. You know, obviously they have a junior hockey league team in the CHL, the Canadian Hockey League, which is the big NHL junior feeder.
Of course.
And so for them to get that huge upgrade, they're pouring $1 billion into renovating the arena there. And so basketball fans, you talk about basketball fans, at least basketball fans in Seattle that are still bitter about the Sonics
moving
to Oklahoma.
They were thinking the Kings were going to move out of Sacramento to Seattle,
well,
and they still think it's going to happen.
They thought the Kings were going to move to Virginia Beach, too.
Right.
They thought
it was just a tossing match between the East Coast and the West Coast. They didn't know exactly what they were going to get. It was like, come on, come back. We miss Kevin Durant. We miss Ray Allen. You feel for Seattle. You do. You feel for them. I mean, they got the Seahawks. And Russell Wilson, so they don't have much to complain about. But other than that, Mariners, what have they done? They need another team.
Yeah, true.
They need another team to get around.
Yeah, and so I think the NHL will be good in opening that door.
Oh, yeah. You'll get the 12th man there.
Yep. And so I think it's exciting. I think it's going to be a good move, particularly for Vancouver Canucks fans. They'll have a natural sort of rivalry there, being in close proximity, because I guess the running joke is from Vancouver to Calgary, it's a few hundred miles, so it's not necessarily – you know, yeah, they're
like Maple
rivals.
Leaf Sabres.
Yeah, so it'll be good for them to have that natural rivalry going there.
Yeah,
Phoenix, or I still call them the Phoenix Coyotes, but they're the Arizona Coyotes now. They will move to the Central Division, and then the whole league will be balanced. Now you'll have 16 teams in the West, 16 teams in the East. And everyone will be hunky-dory with that as we move forward. The new team, yet to be named, I'm sure we'll have a big naming and jersey reveal, all that coming up in the near future. But they will begin play in 2021-22. They'll have the expansion draft in June of 2021. Apparently, Vegas players will be exempt from that expansion draft.
No surprise.
So, yeah, but what do you make of it? And you know, we'll kind of talk more in terms of, you know, just future expansion and that sort of thing.
Well, for Richmond's own interest in the Seattle expansion team, it's one, another team to root for, because Richmond traditionally has done well in the ratings for Stanley Cup playoffs and in the regular season too. The past 4 years, I looked this up before I came here. I figured you were going to ask me this question. I did my research. I did my homework. They placed top five compared to cities like Boston, Pittsburgh, New York. Those are big markets
they
on
are.
The East Coast.
They're
huge
markets.
Compared
yeah.
to Richmond, that's massive. So now that you've got this expansion team to Seattle, who knows what could be happening, considering the fact that the Richmond Coliseum renovation project could be coming along very quickly here as the wheels start to turn on that deal. And who knows what could be coming?
Yep.
Because the hockey scene has been begging, pleading for almost, well, a decade or more. Hockey back to Richmond.
Yep.
There is a scene for hockey in Richmond because of the familiarity and the support for the Washington Capitals. It doesn't have to be the Capitals Farm League team. It just has to be a team.
Yeah.
Just give them a reason to go and watch hockey.
Yep.
Watch
yep.
people fight. They want to do it.
Yep. I remember the Richmond Renegades games all too well. As a kid growing up, so you know,
getting used to those hotkeys over there.
I know. I was telling him I needed to bring my Stream Deck so I could have it set up right here, and then now people won't have to look at
trial
the back
by
of,
fire, Jordan.
Yeah,
you're doing great, buddy.
but yeah, so it is exciting. There are a lot of exciting things happening in Richmond, at least on the hockey front. The Richmond Generals, the junior league team. They're a little further down than the CHL in terms of junior hockey, but there is.
This town doesn't care.
Yeah, nope.
They don't care.
They support the Generals. Yep.
They want hockey.
And you know, if the Coliseum project doesn't work out, apparently there's some sort of development in the works at Richmond Raceway. Richmond Raceway is about to redevelop some of their land. Could be some potential there. I don't know. I have my sources, but. It's an exciting time, and as you said, people are hockey crazed here. I was at the Home Team Grill for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup when they won, and it was incredible, just packed full of Cats fans.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a cool moment to be among all those people. But
yep.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. Obviously, as things unfold, you'll certainly hear about it, whether it's from me or from Chip or from other news sources. You know, we'll keep you abreast on it. But
abreast, is that a buzzword?
Oh, I don't know.
You may have to make that the podcast buzzword. I'm going to have to look that. I'm looking that up.
Abreast.
What does that even mean? Abreast.
It's like keeping you aware almost.
Right. Hold on. We gotta take a minute. Abreast. Adverb. Side by side and facing the same way, alongside or even with something.
Okay.
All right.
Well, interesting. Okay.
Works for me.
Yeah. But so picking up. Where the last episode left off, it was right before they went on their first West Coast trip of the season. They hit Minnesota, they hit Winnipeg, they hit Colorado, and then they finished off in Montreal. And they went 3-1 on that road trip. And Christmas came early, as Tom Wilson, as you heard in the open there, Tom Wilson scoring his first goal of the season in his first game back. I talked with Ben Raby of the Capitals Radio Network in the last episode, and there was one final appeal going on to get Tom Wilson's 20-game suspension reduced, and it was reduced. They cleared him immediately to come back after 16 games. He was with the team in Minnesota on the 13th of November and scored his first goal, and oddly enough, got called for a penalty on the same play for running into Devan Dubnyk.
He's just got a knack for the penalties.
Yeah, it was in typical Tom Wilson fashion. But
the man's a magnet.
So, you know, for you, Chip, and I should also mention he scored points in 8 straight games up until this last game on Sunday against the Ducks. But for you, Chip, watching Tom come back, what's his impact been like for this team from your point of view?
He's the enforcer. He is the enforcer of the team, and anytime he's out there on the ice, people have to take note that Tom Wilson is out there because he's going to knock teeth out as cleanly as he can, even though he's not very clean in his methods of doing it. But when he's out there, you have to keep an eye on him when you're going in transition, because if you miss your step, he's going to let you know he's there, put you on the ice, and it's going to mess up your rhythm. That's what he does. He's kind of just a momentum stopper when he's out there on the ice. And when he can score, it's bonus points.
Yep. They said, you know, the penalty kill is going to be big when he comes back. Just in terms of his impact there, the enforcer role, he can throw his body around, get to the puck and clear it. But he also brings that offensive presence. He is a scorer. And as you saw, he had 6 goals or 7 goals and 6 assists in that span of 8 games with points. So, you know, he made his presence known early. I read an interesting article on The Athletic when he did come back, you know, him recognizing that he sort of does have a spotlight on him whenever he is out on the ice. And just he, of course, a guy that has a history of headshots and, you know, questionable hits. Of course, he's not going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm a headhunter. I like to hunt heads out there. But, you know, he was
probably
like...
Probably is, though. But he's just not telling anyone.
Yeah. But he, you know, he obviously
takes a special kind of person to want to just not clean the clocks out like that.
But
I love it. Who doesn't?
Right?
It's the only sport in America where that's allowed.
I know. But, you know, in the article, he was like, yeah, I know... You know, at a different level now because I know that they're watching me. And we saw that in the game against New Jersey, a hit on Brett Senni that he got the game misconduct. He was shown the door. It was a blindside hit. It was a play away from the puck. And, you know, it had all the ingredients of, oh boy, they're going to throw the book at him. Like, if we thought 20 games was bad for this, I was like, he's probably done for the season. I wouldn't have been surprised. But
the NHL scapegoat him, essentially. They're just going to take any opportunity.
But, you know, I don't know. And, you know, he avoided that suspension. And then the other night against Vegas, a little bit of bad blood with him and Ryan Reeves. And sure enough, in an almost identical sort of play, away from the puck, had his back turned, Ryan Reeves just lays him out. And, you know, it wasn't direct. He had to be helped off the ice. He hit his head on the ice, lost his helmet in the process. It was bad.
Gadzooks.
Reeves was sent to the showers with a game misconduct and a 5-minute major for interference. My question for you though is, what do you make of all these sort of people trolling him in terms of, you know, them saying, oh, Tom Wilson got hit with a headshot. He got hurt. This is karma. What do you say? I mean, can you kind of see what they're saying, or do you think it's kind of sour grapes in terms of, you know, his history with maybe getting away with some things over the course of his time in the NHL?
Well, when you have the reputation of an enforcer and you've been fighting people, knocking people out, and taking out some of the best players on the other team, obviously someone's going to want to take a shot at you. And Ryan Reeves, Tom Wilson have a history dating back even to last season and in the Stanley Cup final, where I think they got in a fist fight in the first game. Then that was a turning point for the Capitals. So hockey players and baseball players have elephant-sized memories. They don't let things go.
Nope.
So in no way am I surprised that Ryan Reeves sizes up the opportunity, sees his window, and takes it, leaps forward, and knocks him clean off his skates. As he was quoted saying, he came into a lion in the jungle.
Oh, gosh.
And that might be the greatest quote I've heard in 2018, because he ran into a lion in the jungle.
He did.
Guns N' Roses, man. He'd be proud. But I'm not surprised, and if anything, it looked like a clean hit on my end. Shoulder to shoulder, wasn't going for the head. He was standing up. He wasn't trying to lean into it. He just was the stronger man, had a good base, and knocked him straight out.
Yeah, there was a play earlier in the game where I guess Wilson tried to hit him, and like Reeves shouldered him down, and apparently Reeves laughed at him when he tried to hit him, and Wilson fell down. So obviously that was the last time that they're going to meet this season unless they play again in the Stanley Cup final. But
you circle that interaction and you just understand as the game is going on, the first time that someone's going to take a swipe at you, that you need to keep an eye on that. And as a fan, if you don't recognize that from the start, you're doing it wrong. Because as soon as you see that happen, something is bound to occur between those two players. And you see it in every game Tom Wilson's out there. When someone takes a swipe at him, they're going to have some words. Sidney Crosby famously came over to the bench and knocked him over because he was jawing in his face. That's just the adrenaline and the testosterone that's kicking in from these players. And that's what makes hockey such a great sport for spectators in the stands, because you may get it on TV and you may see the product and you could get a closer look at it. But murmuring around the stands, you say, did you see what Reeves just said to Wilson? And you say, I'm trying to take a swipe at him. Yeah, oh my God, dude, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Boom! Dude! And then everyone goes off. They're ready to just rip Ryan. Well, they were in Vegas, so they're, yes!
Yeah.
Atonement!
Yep.
Take that! That's what you get for winning a Stanley Cup. That's just good drama.
It is.
Reality television.
It is. It is.
And I'll take that over Mad World or Real World, whatever the heck it was on MTV. Any day of the week.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Wilson is okay. I hadn't seen any news in terms of whether he had been diagnosed with like a concussion or anything.
I think that's where they're looking.
Yeah, and you know, that would be a big hit in terms of them, you know, missing another guy capable of that level of physicality. You have TJ Oshie on the sidelines with a concussion as well. And I do want to note about that, you know, it was the game against Pittsburgh when Oshie was a madman. Like he took a stick up high, cut his face open earlier in the game in like the second period, came back out on the ice after getting stitched up and got absolutely obliterated on the ice by a Pittsburgh player. I forget who laid the hit on him, but it knocked another one of those bone jarring hits.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought, I was like, oh my God, he's dead. he killed him.
I'm doing research for you right now. We're watching the replay.
Yeah.
Go on your tangent.
And then he goes to the locker room, comes back, and scores the game winning goal in that game against Pittsburgh. Just sweet retribution there. But he hasn't been seen much since on the sidelines again with a concussion. But
We're waiting to get through an ad, I promise. I'm going to get to you in a second. I'll let you know who that person was.
Yeah.
No name left unturned.
But it'll be interesting to see how Wilson responds. You know, all that talking the other night, you know, Todd Reirden in his press conference was adamant that Wilson shouldn't be suspended. It was a clean hit. And as you made the case, the same sort of thing. It was a play away from the puck, so yeah, it kind of is a dirty play in some ways, a blindside hit on a guy like that. But at the same time, it just, I don't know.
It's hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey.
It's hockey. As long as you're doing it within the parameters of legality, it's a fair play. Hockey is quite forgiving when it comes to the physical plays that they make.
That's
still waiting
saying.
On this hit.
It's all good.
We're gonna get there. I'm determined.
But yeah. So transitioning outward, you know, to the Caps as a whole, in the month of November, they went 10-5. They're in first place in the Metropolitan Division right now. They've lost two games in a row, so hopefully they play Thursday in Arizona against the Coyotes. If they lose that, it would be their longest losing streak of the season at 3 games. But
sound the alarms.
Yeah. Reardon on the hot seat if that happens.
Oh God.
But it's been fun to watch this team finally click. They didn't come out all that strong to start the season. They won a few games, lost a few games there. But now they sort of found a rhythm, and they're starting to look like the defending Stanley Cup champs.
Absolutely.
And you kind of notice that teams are starting to take them serious. I mean, not that I wouldn't expect any other team to just take them lightly.
Right. I mean, you look at the Metropolitan Division compared to the Atlantic, and you're just thankful that that's where the Capitals have landed. I mean, I have the stats pulled up here. Just looking at it right now. Tampa Bay, Toronto, Buffalo, all above the win total for Washington. And then right behind them is Boston, who's sitting there in that wild card spot. And then behind the Caps, Columbus, who they play next. Islanders coming up. Well, I mean, Islanders in third in the Metropolitan. Look, the East is as hard as the West right now. The West is just a juggernaut, as it always is every single year. That's why it was such a surprise that the Vegas Golden Knights made it out of that gauntlet. That said, you should expect the Capitals to have a much wider margin, a much bigger separation for the rest of the group. And the fact that they're only a point ahead of Columbus in the Metropolitan Division standings is signs of, okay, just going to one bead of sweat. Let me get that off with the towel, and I think we'll be okay. But there is reason for people to maybe watch with bated breath, because every time we get into the new year, this is when the Capitals turn on the Jets and start to peak going towards the playoffs. And traditionally before that, they would fall apart come playoff time. And what happened to this hot Capitals team? They're first in the Eastern Conference. Look at their record and look at their power play. Oh, my God. It's just, oh, man. It's like just watching a model walk up the runway. You just look at the power play. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuzi. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Get the cameras ready. But instead, it's just kind of figuring things out. Luckily, the big players have stepped up, but it's been more of the bench that needs to figure things out, and they will as time goes on. Look, it's a long season, and nothing to worry about. But that 7-game win streak on that Western Conference trip, huge. Huge to keep them afloat at the
top.
Oh,
yeah. And, you know, they showed a lot of resiliency at the end of that trip going into Montreal. They came out really, really flat in the start of the second period in that game. And Phoenix Copley gave up 3 quick goals. Braden Holtby had to come in and bail them out in some regard. But then the Caps turned on the Jets and ended up winning that game. And it capped off. It was a really nice, positive way to end a road trip like that, 3-1. And then they go into Winnipeg the next night, which leads into sort of my favorite moment of the month of November. Was, you know, the Braden Holtby was working out, got hurt, upper body injury. So now Phoenix Copley has to make consecutive starts on a back-to-back, which is really tough to do for a goaltender in the NHL. And so they had to call Gavin McHale as the emergency backup goalie. Gavin is the goaltending coach for the women's hockey team at the University of Manitoba. Apparently, he was a Winnipeg Jets season ticket holder, had tickets to the game that night, and they called him last minute, said, "Hey, the Caps need you. You need to dress." So apparently he called his dad and was like,
Are you saying the Jets made the call?
The Caps made the call to him.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah. But
the Jets would probably say, no.
Yeah.
Do you want to upgrade your seat?
Right.
To VIP access? We'll get you in the locker room after the game. But so long as you don't dress for the Caps.
Yeah. So he apparently called his dad and was like, "Hey, I can't use my ticket because I'm going to be on the bench for the Caps tonight. Go home, get mom, come to the arena, and watch me sit on the bench." But still a cool minute, a cool moment for me, at least, in the month of November. The Caps did lose that game, unfortunately. They just have never played well going into Winnipeg. Winnipeg is one of the toughest environments in the NHL, I feel like. Just a complete home ice advantage. It's definitely on my hockey bucket list to get up to Winnipeg. apparently there's not much in Manitoba, but Winnipeg, and seems like a cool place, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But
that moment you described is comparable to, I try and localize everything. That's what I did as a TV reporter. You got to localize national stories. You got to localize things that are trending in the world. I'm back. I'm okay. Andre Ingram for the Lakers, if you will remember. Aha, he points the finger, yes. Andre Ingram for the Lakers had spent 10 years in the G League and didn't think he was ever going to make it to the NBA. Became a math teacher, got married, had a couple kids, had a good life. All of a sudden, Los Angeles calls, so we need to fill out our roster. Do you want to come up? Sure, yeah, this will be fine. I'll just sit on the bench. We'll invite the family. Oh, yeah, no, you're going to start. Scores 18 points.
Yeah.
That was as comparable to that situation for you as a hockey fan to see someone get that reward, and for me to see someone from our community get that same reward and take full advantage of it. He'll never get another opportunity like it, but the thing that will stay with me, is how he was so humble about it. And those kind of people, that those success stories, those Davids that are able to overcome the obstacles, they hit you right here.
Oh yeah,
they hit you right in the feeling sack.
Well, and you know, we've taught you talk on it so well. Scott Foster is an accountant in Chicago, and the Blackhawks were in a similar situation last season.
Right,
both their goalies got hurt, and Foster suited up, not expecting to play, but when both goalies got hurt, he had to go in the game.
Wow.
For like the final 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes of the game.
Were they winning or losing?
I think they were winning.
Okay.
And he actually made saves.
No pressure.
No, yeah, right?
You're winning. Don't lose this.
But
we appreciate you being here, but just so you know, don't lose.
Right?
Nope. Don't lose.
Well, I would imagine to be an emergency goaltender for an NHL team, you have to be somewhat good. They're not just gonna.
Oh, I'm not taking anything.
They're not
away
gonna call
them.
The beer guy off the steps. Put your ice chest down real quick, bro. We need you.
But this is the NHL. They're not gonna hold anything back. They're, hey, you know, go out there, have some fun. We're winning. I think kind of as he's about to. Oh, and by the way, we're winning. Don't lose this game. We need this. Don't lose. We're trying to make the playoffs. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
No pressure, kid.
Got so this. For you, that was sort of my favorite moment of the month, at least for the Caps. I mean, yeah, they won 7 in a row, which was cool. They ended the month on a high note. So there are a lot of positives. For you, what were some of your favorite moments or favorite moment of the month of November for them?
Rounding out the West Coast trip that started the 7-game win streak at Colorado. Colorado is one of the 5 best teams in hockey right now, in my opinion. They are flying around. They have one of the best records in all of hockey. So to go in there, go into overtime, 22 seconds in, Nicklas Backstrom knocks in the goal on the power play. Take that. You see those games on the calendar, and you know they're turning points? That was a turning point for the Capitals. That was when it clicked. Hey, this is what we are. This is how we do things. This is how we got a Stanley Cup. We just need to be ourselves, and we could beat anyone on any given day of the week. And that's exactly what I remember seeing when I tuned in that game in the third period, is they gave up a lead. I mean, it was bad. You were thinking typical Capitals in the regular season. Oh, here we go again. No one's scoring. What's Rierta going to do? Where's our defense? Holtby, you're going through a cold spell. But they rallied. The power play, as it has always been there for the Caps, came through, and they won in overtime to get a big win to round out that West trip. Against one of the best teams in hockey. It's a huge turning point for the Capitals. Going into the second half of the season and to get through the halfway point of November and finish out November with that 7-game win streak.
Yeah, they carry a ton of momentum going into the month of December. And, you know,
despite the 2-game losing streak.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the month of October is interesting. I mean, the preseason in the NHL is so short. It's like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Day, it seems like.
Yeah, and
it's old.
I sort of see the first like 10 games of the season as sort of an extension of the preseason. I mean, yeah, they know who their roster is, you know, they have all that sort of figured out, but it's really those first 10 games, it's the guys gelling again, getting their feet underneath them, being used to those game situations, playing on the ice, you know, in these different arenas every night. So for them to start to build some positive momentum going into December, which is going to end you know, end sort of the first half of the season. By the time they play Nashville on New Year's Eve in D.C., that's game number 38. So they've got half a season to go, and you know, you want to start to see them continue to trend in the positive rather than the negative. And of course, you're going to deal with injuries and all that sort of thing, as every team does. But I think for them to, you know, avoid going on these long losing streaks, win three in a row, lose one or two in a row, then win four in a row. Like, that's what I like to see. I like to see that consistency in their game. You know, they have sort of improved on their puck handling mistakes. Early on, they made a lot of those mistakes, turning the puck over in their own zone or just being sloppy, clearing the puck, trying to force it into areas where there isn't anyone open. So I think it is a work in progress always. And even the coaching staff, I'm sure, would admit to you that, you know, that they're not perfect by any stretch. They're working on it. And, you know, you definitely want to see some of the guys produce that are meant to produce, you know, guys like Backstrom, who had a hat trick the other night, you know, Ovechkin, who has 20 plus goals in the last 14 straight seasons. He's only like the sixth player in NHL history to do that. You know, he's on fire, and you know, you got guys like Evgeny Kuznetsov, who really filled a void when Tom Wilson was out and really came into his own over the course of those 16 games that he was gone. So, you know, there's a lot to like from these guys moving forward, especially into the month of December.
Absolutely. But I will always say this. It's always true for me. Alex Ovechkin is still the MVP of the Washington Capitals. I mean, 20 goals right now as it stands, third most in all of hockey, one behind Patrick Laine of the Winnipeg Jets, sitting at 21. He's 33 years old. He's skating the most minutes he's ever skated in his career, last year in the playoffs and so far this season in 2018. The man is essentially running on a flat tire, and he is still accounting for nearly 30% of the Washington Capitals' goals.
And he's got a baby on the way, too.
And I'm not talking about another Stanley Cup. Because that was something else I was going to end it on, is that Alex Ovechkin, sleeping with the Stanley Cup in his bed, romantically, you know, big spoon, little spoon, was flagged not safe for work on Tumblr.
I saw that. That's funny.
Hey, if you don't like Alex Ovechkin making baby with Stanley Cup, then you don't like Washington Capitals. Alex Ovechkin, MVP, 2018, halfway through
book
the
it.
Season.
You can book it right there.
Book it, Jordan!
Yep, book it! But for the Caps in December, six of their final 11 games in December are against either the Carolina Hurricanes, the Buffalo Sabres, or the Ottawa Senators. Hurricanes, kind of surprising people a little bit. They're playing with a lot of enthusiasm. They're getting the fans on their side down in Raleigh, especially with their team-wide celebrations at the end of games that they win.
All my Carolina friends won't shut up about it. with the Carolina Tar Heels sucking lately.
Yeah. And then
who do I cheer for? Hurricanes. Yeah, all right, hockey.
and then you got Buffalo. Buffalo won like 10 games in a row or something like that. So they're playing a really hot hand right now. It's good to see Jack Eichel coming into his own. All that hype. Him and Connor McDavid. Jack Eichel was sort of playing second fiddle to Connor McDavid when McDavid came into the league. They were drafted 1-2 by their respective franchises a few years ago. And obviously McDavid was the most hype, especially going to such a storied franchise as Edmonton. But for Buffalo to finally, you know, give people up there a reason to cheer is good to see. And I think they'll be really competitive. They play the Sabres twice in 8 days. So they play on a set. They play them, and both games are in D.C. So they play Buffalo on December 15th, and then they play again on Friday the 21st. So it'll be an interesting stretch. They'll get some familiarities out of the way early on before they have to go up to Buffalo and play in their barn.
And something else to keep in mind too, Jordan, is that after this weekend, the Capitals are going to play six home games compared to three road games. That's going to be pretty critical going into the holidays, have that home crowd around you. Going to 2019, you always defend home ice. Capitals have done pretty well at that so far this year. Also, don't sleep on the fact that they play the Predators before New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's.
Number one team in the West.
Yep.
And the Predators, despite their inability to get to the Stanley Cup final, is loaded as always. And that's going to be a measuring stick for the Capitals if they can keep up and continue to play at a high level against the best teams in hockey. Hence why that win over the Rapids at overtime was telling, because that was the first game really where they were challenged. They were in a really tough spot and they pulled through. That's how they were able to do it against the Golden Knights in game one, where Braden Holtby had that big save. You just need those games for your confidence to build momentum and to prove once again the Capitals are Stanley Cup champions for a reason.
I like it. I like it. And yeah, I do.
I'm a little hype right now.
I
had to bring it back down.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I get excited on the mic.
I love the enthusiasm, but.
That's what I do.
But yeah, the Predators defending President's Trophy winners. I mean, the Caps know that feeling of being the best team in hockey and coming up short in the postseason. It happened to the Predators. They ran into the Golden Knights in the Western Conference final. So.
Ran into, more like got blocked.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do think the game on New Year's Eve against the Predators will be a nice measuring stick for them
at home at 12:30 p.m. Yep. A nice noon game,
high
on the
noon.
Evening.
Yep, it'll be nice to see. Hopefully, I might try to go to that game if I can.
Okay,
but we'll see. And you know, they definitely need to carry all this momentum into the 2019 portion of the schedule. Like you said, six home games out of that final 11-game stretch there, and they have to make the most of it. They had a five-game homestand in November, early in November, and they finished it off by laying an egg against the Coyotes, who I think beat them 4-1. They just didn't play all that well, but hopefully they make the most of the home cooking. They have back-to-back games in consecutive weeks leading into Christmas. So the 14th and 15th is Carolina, Buffalo, and then the 21st and 22nd of December is Buffalo and Ottawa. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they can play into the Christmas break. They'll get a few days off for Christmas, and then they'll be back at it.
Grinding away. All caps.
Yep, exactly. But I did mention I actually am doing the back-to-back. I'm going down to Raleigh. I'm taking my girlfriend going down to Raleigh to see them play the Canes.
Okay.
And then the next night we're going up to D.C. to see them play the Sabres.
Is there something brewing?
Maybe. It's getting kind of serious.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
She's a hockey fan. She loves the Caps. Uh-oh. She loves the Caps. So.
Is this happening?
Maybe.
Are we doing this?
There's no breaking news.
I'm not breaking anything. I don't know what you're alluding to. All I'm saying is, are we going there? Going to D.C.? New Year's Eve? And Christmas time?
Oh, Lord.
The girlfriend?
Well, we've only been dating 4 months.
I'm planting the seed in her mind if she's listening to this right now.
It'll be 5 months.
Trust me, I went through it when I went to Miami. She thought she was getting it then, man. You got to build them up.
Yeah. It'll be 5 months on Christmas Day. So
I'm putting you in the doghouse right now. Get ready, bud.
Yeah.
She's going to be, so, what do you got? Anything shiny?
But, so, have you been to any games this season?
I have not been to any games this season. I have been really focused on figuring out what my next step is in my career, as well as handling things back home with the fiance and freelancing. So, hopefully I'll find some time to get up to a Capitals game. Otherwise, I enjoy watching it at home. I was glad, like I said, I got to go to the Stanley Cup final game. So if that's the last game I ever go to, I don't think it will be. I'm happy that that's the one.
If you could pick a game on the schedule, the remaining schedule, what game would you like to go see?
Probably a Penguins or a Rangers game, just because those are good rivalry games.
Yeah.
Those bring out the best. And maybe someone from the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really picky about my games, so long as it just works in my schedule.
Yeah, I hear you. And so, sort of circling back to December, what are you looking for out of this team as they finish off this month?
Four home wins, and I'll take two road wins. So six wins, rounding out the 11, that's fine for me. I think that's okay. Anything above that is bonus. I think if you go 6-5 and you win all of your home games, that'll help moving forward, because you're playing a couple teams in the East that are biting at your heels for playoff spots.
I gotcha. That's nice. That I like that. And I that's pretty much it. I don't have anything else for you. So, you know, I appreciate
No mic drop?
No mic drop. These mics are too expensive to drop.
That's okay. I understand.
But hey, I really appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much for coming in.
Anytime.
And yeah, I will definitely keep you in mind moving forward. And where can people find you on the socials?
All right, I'll look into the camera for this one. @Chip_Briere for Twitter. @ChipBriere, all one word, for Instagram. RTB51991 on Snapchat. I also stream video games now.
Ooh.
Ooh. Twitch.tv/CB_project if you want to check me out. Playing games, streaming, having fun, working on some things in the background. It's more a hobby than anything, but it's a way to interact with me. So if you like what I do here on Behind the Mic, because Jordan is awesome and gave me the opportunity to do so, I continue to do it. So check us out on Twitch. Check me out on social media. And deuces, everyone. It's been fun.
Yeah. So do you have you set up sort of like the supporter stuff on your Twitch?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. The following is starting to build slowly but surely. It's been a lot of fun to go into that world, so to speak, and being an on-air talent for the local ABC affiliate for as long as I was. Some people would think, why the heck are you doing that? Well, it's something to do. I can still be in front of a camera, and I could still just be chipper as I am.
And people... See, hold on.
Hold on.
People think,
wait a minute.
People think, you know, that it's a waste of time. You can make serious money. If you build your following up enough, you can make pretty good money.
You can, but it's
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work and a lot of patience. It ain't going to happen overnight.
No, it isn't.
That's what I said.
Just like the listenership for this.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Just the number, it as a hobby.
Yeah. Well, I asked and they said, sure, you can do it if you want.
Right.
So... why not? I offered, and I'm going to jump at the opportunity. But
and here you are, live streaming on video, recording in the studio,
yes.
All capped out.
Yep, I love it. I love it. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up. Thank you very much for your time, Chip. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Let's go, Caps, and I will be back with a new episode very soon.
Deuces.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.